Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The website 538.com says that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.2% of the time.
Simone Pathé is reporting for Roll Call. U.S. Representative John Faso has been named to the paper's list of the 10 most vulnerable House incumbents in 2018. The list of those most unlikely to return to Congress in 2019 includes 8 Republicans and 2 Democrats. GOP strategists admit that if they can't pass a tax overhaul, more Republicans will be in trouble because the party risks lower turnout from a disappointed base. Faso is number 3 on the list. Pathé writes that the Kinderhook Republican might not look vulnerable given that the 19th congressional district went for Donald Trump by 7 points last year, but Democrats are motivated and poised to field a candidate with local roots. The paper declares that Pat Ryan and Antonio Delgado are the top candidates in the field, noting that both outraised Faso during the third fundraising quarter this year. Other vulnerable House members include Daryl Issa, Republican from California, Claudia Tenney, Republican representing New York's 22nd congressional district, and Tom O'Halloran, Democrat of Arizona. Read the full story in Roll Call. On November 6th, Representative John Faso released a statement about the mass shooting in Texas November 5th, where an American terrorist used an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. Quote, "The senseless and horrific tragedy in Texas over the weekend is heartbreaking. I am hopeful that the ongoing investigation will lead to answers as to why this individual chose to destroy so many lives and families, and we will learn what more can be done to help prevent such tragedies. My heart goes out to the victims and their families," end quote. Richard Moody in Columbia Green Media reports that on November 3rd, the House of Representatives passed a bill to replace the lapsed Children's Health Insurance Plan that expired in September. The new bill is called the Community Health and Medical Professionals Improve Our Nation Act, and Democrats, who mostly voted against it, say it would pay for children's health insurance by taking money away from a preventative care fund. The bill passed 242 to 174, including a yes vote from Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook. Quote, "It was critical that the House pass legislation to reauthorize CHIP before the funding runs out in the coming months, and this legislation not only does that, but makes other important improvements," said Faso. Quote, "Notably, the legislation authorizes robust support for community health centers, which provide critical medical services throughout upstate New York," end quote.
On Thursday, November 9th, John Faso spoke with MSNBC's Kristen Welker. Here's some of that interview.
So I'm curious, you said you're still reviewing the tax plan. You've had a week now. So what are you still reviewing? What in particular is the biggest sticking point for you?
Well, there are the number of provisions. The deductibility of state taxes is an issue for me, and coming from New York State. The issue of medical expense deductions and how the pass-through arrangements for small businesses are being made. Overall, there's a lot in this bill to get our economy going and get it growing much faster that I like, but I am concerned about a couple of provisions. So the House Ways and Means Committee is, as we speak, still marking up this bill, so we don't have a final product yet. So I'm going to wait until I see what the final product is as I determine what's the best thing for America and the best thing for upstate New York.
So you can't say right now whether or not you support this bill?
Well, again, there are many aspects in this bill that I think are terrific. Lowering the corporate tax rates to incentivize jobs back in this country, that is something that I think all Americans want. But
let me drill down on you a little bit on one of those sticking points, though, that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the tax breaks. A middle-class median household income in your district, you have $60,000, according to a recent government report. More than 25% of taxpayers making between $50,000 and $75,000 will actually see an increase in their taxes by 2023. I know that you feel like a lot of those are your constituents. So you need to see that math change in order to get behind this?
Well, that math is dependent upon a 5-year expiration of certain tax breaks, which we believe will be extended by Congress by 2021 or 22. The bill would actually provide a substantial tax reduction for those middle class taxpayers who are now getting stuck with a higher tax bill. And this would cut their taxes. When we talk about by 2027, then what they're talking about is certain tax exemptions, credits, mm-hmm. et cetera, are scheduled to expire midterm in this 10-year window that we're talking about. We expect those tax breaks for middle-class people to be extended. So that's really just an accounting question at this stage. The larger issue is this tax bill going to generate higher economic growth and therefore higher wages for people? And I believe it will. But again, there are aspects of the proposal as they're working it now, the higher the state and local tax deduction, that still are concerned for people from New York.
Can you support this bill if those tax deductions are not extended?
Well, I believe those tax, the state tax deduction is one that we really have to try to accommodate in this. We shouldn't be able to just throw, as of January 1, 2018, everyone's state tax deduction out the window. This affects New York State in a dramatic way. At the same time, only 30% of my taxpayers today in my district itemize. It's estimated that fewer than 10% would itemize if this legislation were enacted because of the doubling of the standard deduction.
Well, let me ask you a little bit of ticks now. In 2016, Mr. Trump won your district by about 7 points. You won by about 8 points, which is a healthy margin. But do you think if you don't get tax reform done that it could hurt your chances for reelection? We know some voters are already upset that Obamacare wasn't repealed and replaced.
Well, I'm not worried about the politics. I'm worried about trying to make sure we get this right for the American people, get it right for our small businesses. That's where 70% of the jobs in upstate New York come from.
So, but isn't it critical that you pass tax reform to show, and some Republicans have said this to me, they say, we have to get this done to show that we can govern because we have control of both chambers.
Well, that's something that I've been saying for 10 months that I've been in Congress, get things done. And whether it's on DACA or on tax reform or other issues, I've been a proponent of getting things done here. So I'm not worried about the politics next year. I'll let those of you who are the pundits worry about that. I'm worried about getting this stuff done, getting the job done, so that middle class taxpayers, but also our economy grows faster. This is the key to creating jobs and opportunity in places like upstate New York. Faster economic growth. It was too slow during the Obama years. We've got to grow it faster. That's why fixing this broken tax code with its 70,000 pages of regulations is so critical.
And Congressman, before I let you go, the question of the day and within Republican circles right now seems to be, is it smarter to embrace President Trump in 2018 in the midterms, or is it smarter to run away from him, to distance yourself? Where do you come down on that debate?
Again, I do whatever what I said during the campaign, which is I support whoever would be elected president, whether it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, when I agree with them, and I don't support them when I disagree with them. And that's how I've approached this. I think the president is on track in terms of trying to get the economy moving, reducing regulations. There are areas where I disagree with them, but just the way politics is, and I'm not worried about what the ramifications are for next year. The job in front of us is to fix this broken tax code, get our economy moving, and get more growth and jobs and paychecks for our workers.